Thank you again for coming for this plant nutrient management workshops. And my name is Dharma Piche, and I'm going to present. I'm from Tennessee State University. Present on the site-specific nutrient water management to foster environmental stewardship. What is that? This is some kind of jargon or what? Because this fertilizer is being used. And what is the purpose of this? Is to address the challenges and issues that we have been observing in the urban and pre-urban gardening system, especially in fertility management, okay? And we like to recommend the 4-hour nutrient stewardship specific to these type of gardening areas. What are they? Where can be implemented successfully, okay? And how to manage these farms for optimal productivity. At the same time, we take care of our environment and minimizing any nitrate or phosphate leachate, okay? And let's have these BMPs be best management practices in nutrient management to ensure that we have a high productivity and also will benefit the environment, okay? And just to give you an overview, gardening or in terms of upkeep of turf, producing local fruits, vegetables in the urban and pre-urban areas has increased, I think, in a substantial amount in North America of late, okay? And this is to desire to grow and consume own food. That's the some kind of a campaign going on, whether you like it or not. Everybody wants to grow their own food, okay? And according to the American Gardening Association, in 2013, there are 42 million people who are involved in, and they spend about $3.5 billion, out of which 13 million people are millennials involved in gardening system. It's maybe for horticulture therapy or some kind of therapy people are involved, and this is one of the fastest growing horticulture sector that has been not given any attention, okay, I would say. And in terms of the garden size, majority of the garden size is 10 by 10. We talk about that many million is 10 by 10. The remaining is less than 2,000 square footage. That's a size, it's very small size, okay? And unlike the commercial production system that we are familiar with, most of the urban gardeners grow a wide range of different species, try to put in a small area, very intensive sort of things, okay? 10 by 10, okay? I think everybody talk of the coffee shop talk is, I'm doing some gardening, let's exchange some vegetables. So that's a trend now we are going, okay? And then when comes gardening, they all start to say, now we also talk about season extension. There are some small timers, they also start to grow vegetables. So when it comes to cold season, then we say, what is cold season? Or what kind of fertilizer? Cold season plant is chilling out. When they chill, do we apply the right fertilizer source, nitrogen especially? And what is the rate and the timing of it? When do you apply? Okay, those are the questions that ponders every grower, you know. And then when you look into the production system, is under the same roof, whether it's covered or open, it's multiple species, okay? And there's also a lot of interest in hydroponic water culture, okay? Under the roof or abandoned factory, abandoned buildings, it's all going into it and all try and error. And at the end of the day, if you fail, they say, oh, I don't have a brown, green thumb or brown thumb. And then most of the garden types, if you were to look into criteria-wise, most of it is container garden, okay? Container garden means it's more of your soilless media, okay, because of constraint in space. And the other one is just, Lee was mentioning about green roof garden, indoor garden, and sometimes we use pollinators. And we can go on some of the gardens. And most of the container gardens are more of herbs, windowsills, okay? This is common. And when you talk about container gardens, the geometry of the container is very important because that is going to determine the water table substrates, because it's going to be a light material, it's not going to hold any nutrients, low CEC, runoff is going to be an issue. So those are things, and then sometimes they use very minimal water because it's a container. They do not want to overwater it and then build up the salinity over the time and then the crop failure. So those are the challenges that contribute some of the growers are having, okay? So again, there's active interest in gardening, especially eating fresh produce in urban and pre-urban area. 1 in 3 households, millennials, spending an average of $100. This is according to the National Gardening Association survey. And most of them just engage everybody want to, even folks who have not have done anything their entire life, now everybody want to jump into, it's a hobby or gardening, I want to grow, I want to take charge. The food that I consume, that's kind of a mantra gets into it. And all kind from berries to flowers, herbs, everything is grown on your own, okay? And most of it is hoping to grow a better, more tasting food. Is it better tasting? That's the number one priority. When the survey was done, they said it's better tasting. It's just like when you cook a food, your own, when you prepare your own meal, you say it tastes better. You know, kids always find that way. And also some, they said, due to economic reason, maybe saving some money, maybe the produce is better quality, safe to consume, and also feel more meaningful, productive, teaching, sharing. A lot of things come into picture. And when you start to grow your own vegetable, do they really provide you all the sufficient nutrients that are required by human being? Okay. Just look at these vegetables that are high in potassium. That is what conventional or traditional supply coming from grocery store. Are we getting it from this urban gardening? Okay. Sharing a vegetable. Do we get that? I don't know. Okay. And then hoping or growing a better food, what is happening? They start to apply disproportionate amount of inputs, fertilizers. Excessive or under, and also they're not aware of the consequences of applying too much or too little. And most of the guidelines that is out there is meant for large-scale farming system, rural farming system, not meant for this 10-by-10 production system. That's another thing, okay? Let's go on internet search engine, search. So this is what you get, okay? This is really what you get when you Google it, okay, gardening fertilizer program. When you put on pesticides, whole lot different ball game, okay? This is what, so do you get those kind of information really can be delivered or useful to the growers? I don't know. Talk about fertilizer rate, okay? Information on fertility management. The 4R, the rate, right source, rate, timing, all these informations are lacking for gardeners, gardening small timers, okay? Either they put too much of fertilizer, too much means what will happen? These are slow-release fertilizers. Some fertilizers are 6 months slow-release, 3 months. The type of vegetables, or the containers they are growing, is a whole different ball game in terms of when you want to grow something, okay? And then current practice is either suboptimal or excess applying, okay? And then the rapid response due to nitrogen supply indicates that how the plant growth and development is taking place. And sometimes they result in sometimes too much, poor growth, too little, non-marketable crop, okay? And also the looking into the present formulation of fertilizers. It's always we talk about NPK, and then we start to put counterproductive P, or there's too much of P we are releasing in the environment. Do plants really need that amount of P when you put a ratio 2:1:2 NPK? So the ratio is it relevant to the formulations, okay? So that could be a reason why too much of nutrients and phosphates are getting leached out. And then respecting your plant species, we always go for the standard fertilizer that is available. Some of it will be something like a miracle grow. Not to say there anything wrong with that fertilizer. It is not designed for constant, or how often, a split application, that sort of things are happening. And that also leads to excessive sub. This just to give you an indication of flowers, with anything beyond 100 ppm is a downhill. But sometimes more is better, people start to oversupply, and that causes the runoff. And a lot of times in the forum like this, we talk about nitrogen. They don't really specify the nitrogen source. Is it potassium nitrate source, calcium, or urea, or ammonium? So this nitrogen is a major macro element. It can be delivered in many forms. If it is anionic form, that will be nitrate. That is going to alter the rhizosphere pH and other causes. And if you are staying in an area of, let's say, in Tennessee, Nashville, the water is alkaline, high in alkalinity, high in pH. So if you would apply calcium nitrate for tomato, the pH is going to go up. Then you're going to end up with micronutrient problem. So these are the challenges we have. And also, you rarely come across toxicity of nitrogen, because you need to have several hundred fold compared to micronutrients. So therefore, what happened, that the general practice is always applying more than what is needed in the fertilizer. So, and they don't rarely look into the micronutrient analysis. And some fertilizers, some plant species are more of a, prefer acidic environment, like blueberry. Now everybody want to grow blueberry because they can have their own blueberry. Okay. And then look into the ratios. Even if I would apply ammonium to nitrate or calcium nitrate, just looking into the ammonium to nitrate, just look at the root system, and then just with ammonium, if it is the chloride anion, and accompanying anion or sulfate, the overall root performance is different. And here initially, when you apply, there is a positive response to nitrogen supply. Further increase in the application, there's a downhill. Okay? You're not getting it. But then you're not getting into toxicity, because you need to be several hundred fold. So we keep applying more means more runoff, polluting the local environment, especially high density population in the city area. Okay? And then now nitrogen supply and disease is linked. Okay? And there is a report showing that there's incidence of disease in the plant increased with increase in nitrogen supply. Okay? You're not benefiting any way can. Okay? And then the fertilizer rates, if it's not addressed, it could pose a serious problem in terms of leachate and so on. Okay? And it is critical for us to develop some level of urban and pre-urban gardening system for these folks, okay? And we talk about fertilizer without taking into consideration of water, meaningless. Why is that? Because water is the carrier. Water is the solvent for the fertilizer. Water is the one that's going to feed the plant, make it available. So water quality is another issue, whether it's alkaline, the EC value, the regular, the 9 yards about water. And then next comes, how much water should you drink? What is the frequency of watering? And then the delivery system, drip versus overhead. All these things are, to a regular traditional growers, is a very simple thing, but not to a urban farmers. Okay? And then the watering time, sometimes they water in the evening, that's the time they have enough time to come and water, then they ended up, and then the water temperature, winter months, it can be too cold, the water, as it be, the temperatures be tempered water. And then this is one example of overwatering. Okay, and then poor water management ended up in nutrient deficiency, and this is very common in iron problem. And signs of overwatering seedlings, this is excessive, poor root system. Symptoms of iron deficiencies, overwatering, resulting in the nutrients not available. The reason being, iron is one of the transition metal that can switch from ferric to ferrous, and then the availability become a constraint, okay? And extended period of overwatering, water quality, poor drainage in the urban area, heavy clay, and then a lot of compaction, because when they construct anything, brownfield. So a lot of things get into play, and growers don't have the time. And then if we were to provide any sort of recommendations, not knowing that place, just go to Google, I think that's why we are not providing any service to the greenhouse, to the urban, you know, farming system. And flooding is very frequent also, okay? And then sometimes we advise mulching. And then when you do mulching, the options for fertilizer delivery also changes. There's more option without mulching. But then with mulching, you're limited. Because once you put a plastic mulch, you cannot deliver the fertilizer. Either it's pre-dressing or you have to be fertigation. And if you don't design with a drip line, that's a problem. If you use a drip line, what will happen in dry season, you're going to have a mite outburst. Pest going to be a problem. So there is always, you need to balance it out, everything. And then look into the nutrient and water, the soil. First, when you deliver that, how am I going to deliver? Do I have to use a drip system? How much water I'm going to do it? And frequency is all depending on the type of species. Earlier we spoke about there are multiple range of species. The root system differs. It can be a taproot system, adventitious root system. Even within that, some root plants, root system hardly grows on the surface, just in the bottom. Some may have the entire plant. So different root morphology also counts in terms of water and then delivery. Okay? And this lack of management is too much of water, cherry tomatoes start to crack. Too little, you're going to have blossom and rot. So balancing act is very important in urban or anywhere for that matter, but then we need to focus on that. And then water and fertilizer management also differs by non-uniform or stage of plant growth. Here, look at the water table. If the root length is longer, the water table is closer, higher. Okay? And then the available water is there, even irrespective of the plant. Okay? So root system is plays an important role and in terms of stage of the plant, because the availability of nutrients and water should synchronize with the plant growth. If it doesn't synchronize, the plant is not going to take it up, it's all going to run off. Because a lot of them use, like it or not, a lot of them use either container production, soilless media, doesn't have this cation extension capacity to hold the substrate. Okay? This root system just differs by species, which means to say that watering and fertilizer requirement also differs by species, okay? So we need to look into the right water management stewardship. When to water, how often to water, how much to water. Based on that, our fertilizer rate and both watering and fertigation frequency is tied up. It's not, you can't separate watering, nothing to do, fertilizer is nothing to do, because you want, people are in the urban area, they don't have patience. I want the plant to grow. I want to see it's growing. If it's not growing, that's not good. So this is just to give you an example of plants that are supplied with different levels of nitrogen rate, and these three millimolars and 7,500 is 7 millimolar. It's 80% substrate. Look at the growth rate, okay? And plant responds at same plants, but subject to 20% moisture. So plants that are earlier were active with water, reduced water supply, is the first to get wilting response. Okay? And here another response, plants with a different rate, but 20%. So different species responds differently. Wilting is not issue with the anything with bok choy or mustard, okay, compared to zinnia. This is the mustard leaves, more of a bok choy leaves. So there's not a wilting, but then it's light colored. Okay? Just to give you an example of how a plant responds to wilting percentage with the increase in fertilizer rate, this is 100 ppm, 75 and 10, and this is moisture percentage. So whenever the moisture level drops, the plants that are more vigorous are more sensitive. Okay? Okay? Here, in terms of increasing the plant fresh weight, and whenever there's a water supply is only 20% moisture, you don't see the response. But then increase in water supply is increase in the biomass is proportional with the nutrient supply. Okay? So in summary, high-end concentration plants are more sensitive to root zone water stress conditions. Okay? And watering frequency depends on nitrogen rate and substrate moisture content. There's a greater need for water for high-end supply crops. Low nitrogen supply means plants are more tolerant. Okay? So watering requirement fertilizer differs from species to species. And we also need to take into consideration additional factors like stage of plant growth, plant condition, and environmental conditions. So we need to develop more strategies to develop guidelines for nutrient management for urban and pre-urban gardening by incorporating the 4R nutrient stewardship to ensure optimal productivity in urban gardening. And also we need to look into revisit the better formulation of fertilizer labeling, and the source and rate is critical for urban farming. With that, thank you for everyone coming here. And I don't know whether they have time for any questions. Feel free to ask me. And please don't forget to attend the tomorrow's morning business meeting for plant nutrient management workshop business meeting at 7. Okay? Thank you again. Okay.